Guides in the Desert, Hour 2 here. I'm Danielle Alvari, here with your host, Matt Eumanns, and we have Tim Murray here. Johnny Avello will be back, don't worry. But first things first, Woj bomb here. Billy Donovan has agreed to a deal to become the next Chicago Bulls head coach. Reactions?
I like the move. I think Billy D is going to be good for the Bulls. I thought he did a great job with the OKC Thunder last season. I was, you know, a little bit surprised he was let go, let's put it that way. And but the bigger issue for the Bulls, Tim, they got to get their front office straightened out. That organization has been basically chaos for the past 20 years.
Yeah, you've sunk a lot of money into Zach LaVine, which is never really a promising thing. But to your point, I mean, you know, when they made the trade, the Oklahoma City Thunder made the trade to get rid of Russell Westbrook and bring in Chris Paul and get a ton of draft picks.
Great trade.
It was a great trade. And, you know, this is a front office and Sam Presti led that went out. They got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari for Paul George and a ton of assets again. And most people thought they were going to be cellar dwellers this year. I remember when the over-under on their season win total, Matt, was somewhere around like 31, 32 initially, right, and then got bet right up. They went 44 and 28 this year. I have no idea why they decided to move on from Billy Donovan. I know there were thoughts Philadelphia could be his landing spot, but it is Chicago. Yeah, they've got a lot of issues there, so this might be a spot where you got some young talent in Chicago.
Yeah.
Wendell Carter. They drafted Coby White. Once again, I'm not a big LaVine fan, but, you know, he's a volume scorer, I guess. So we'll see what he does.
It's a big coaching upgrade, I think, from Jim Boylan, just was not cut out for that head coaching job.
Is he going to be able to affect change at a higher level, given that, you know, coming in as a head coach is going to be able to actually make change in that organization?
I think so. I mean, once again, you know, you look at what he was able to do in Oklahoma City. You know, he walked in with you know, all those stars there, and now I do think he will be able to help out there. But, yeah, no, you make a good point. I mean, it starts in that front office, and they got a lot to figure out there.
For sure. All right, let's bring it back to Game 3, Lakers at Nuggets tonight. Without Anthony Davis' three-point buzzer beater in Game 2, this is a different series, but unfortunately or fortunately, depending which side you're on, the Lakers are up 2-0 heading into Game 3. Via BetMGM this morning, the Lakers opened at -7, down to -6.5. Lakers getting about 29% of the tickets, 22% of the handle. People are liking the Nuggets. So, I don't know, Game 3, what do we think?
I lean Nuggets, taking the points here. You know, I watched the last game, and they were down 9 late and went on a big run to take the lead before Anthony Davis hit that 3 to win the game. I think the Nuggets have confidence they can hang with the Lakers, beat the Lakers, and stretch this series. This is obviously a really important game when you're down 2-0 in the series. So I lean Nuggets +6.5. I want to see what JVT has to say about it. John Von Tobel is going to join us here in a couple minutes. And if he says take the points with the Nuggets, that'll probably be one of my top plays today.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth. I lean the one play I was leaning. I'm not going to give it out later in the show, but the one play I made a small play on today, Matt, was Lakers -3.5 first half. They've gotten off to double-digit leads, I should say, in both games of this series and three of the last four against Houston. The most unbelievable stat, though, about Game 2, Matt, was that Jamal Murray was +16. He played 44 minutes, meaning in the 4 minutes Jamal Murray was not on the floor, the Nuggets were outscored by 18 points in 4 minutes. Yeah. So that is, I've never seen a plus-minus like that ever. So Jamal Murray will sit in the first half, probably won't sit out in the second half. That's why I lean Lakers first half -3.5.
All right, speaking of outscoring, what about the total here? Opened at 214, down to 213.5. Most of the action is on the over. How would you look at it, given it's Game 3?
I don't know. That's my answer to that. I'm not a great totals bettor when it comes to the NBA, and that's why we have a guest like JBT on in a couple minutes, because he's much better with that.
Great NBA mind, yeah, coming up.
Imagine a lot of people will be on the over, because it's just more fun to bet overs in the NBA. In this series, it's split. High scoring first game, second game, 105-103. We'll see what JVT has to say. I would lean under in this spot, but that's just more contrarian, because everybody's going to be on the over in this.
Okay, maybe this is a more fun question. A lot of money on the Lakers. With the teams left, who has given you reason to believe that they could win it all?
Miami Heat.
Heat.
Okay.
I haven't given up on the Celtics. I've got bets made months ago on the Celtics to win the East and the title. And it helps that Gordon Hayward is back. But right now, the Heat look like a team that could take down the Lakers.
Right. Well, we'll talk more game three. We have more of my guys coming your way.
South Point Sportsbook, Matt Eumanns, Tim Murray, and DraftKings Sportsbook Director Johnny Avello. And JBT is going to join us here in a minute to talk NBA tonight. Johnny, have you? We talked a little bit about this in the first hour today. What have you seen on tonight's NBA game in terms of action? The Lakers, 6.5-point favorites over the Nuggets.
Yeah, money line on the Nuggets tonight. The total, like you mentioned, dropped from 214 to 13.5. Those early moves like that don't mean much and are not indicative of what we're going to end up needing.
Uh-huh.
Because I would expect they'll probably be more over money as we get closer to game time.
Okay, Nuggets plus 230 on the money line, 6.5 if you want to take the points. John Von Tobel is with us now. Let's go to him, the host of The Edge weekdays here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Follow him on Twitter at me, JVT. What do you think, John? Are the Nuggets live dogs tonight, catching the points or on the money line?
Well, first off, I actually appreciate more the title of great NBA mind that Danielle called me. So from now on, but as far as the side goes, look, humans. I was talking about this earlier today on my show, The Edge. You know, I'm going to get pretty stubborn with this. I'm just going to bet Denver until one. I lose my money, but really until this number reaches where I think it should be. And, you know, you go back throughout the regular season between these two teams and including the one seeding game that we saw. You know, the first game, it's Denver minus 2.5. The second game, it's Lakers 2.5. The third game, it's 3.5. You get to the seeding games in Orlando, it's 5.5. And yet, you know, we saw Denver not only cover that 5.5 spread, two of these games were single possession games. Denver won one by double digits. The Lakers won one by double digits. This has been a series that's been really close. You know, one of my favorite stats that I've referenced in terms of how close the series has been in this regular season, they've been, the Lakers are 3-1 straight up, but they only have a negative 3.2 net rating in this series. So it's like there's so much that goes into this. But if we're talking about the number, 7.5, I thought for game one was too high, and I bet that ultimately they fell off after a really good first quarter. Second, game two was more like I thought, and now we've seen this adjustment. Until it gets to 5, I'm going to be on the Nuggets for each one of these games until it gets to where I think it should be.
What has it been about the Nuggets in the first half? We've seen them against the Clippers, JVT, get off to slow starts, and then they magically turn it on in the second half. I mean, what they did in that series was unbelievable, their third quarter performances. And, I really don't have a great feel about what happens in this game and what side to play. I would lean with you, Denver plus the points. But when I look at the first half, and that's why I leaned laying the 3.5 with the Lakers, have come out. They led by 11 at the half in game one, 10 at the half in game two. So if you look at the first half line, do you think this is a spot where the Nuggets come out raring to go with that sense of desperation, or are they comfortable playing their normal ways and bouncing back like they did in game two in the second half?
You know, man, like I would think that, like, we have enough of a track record that would say that this Nuggets team probably isn't going to show up in the first half. And when you say, like, what is it about them? I have no idea, because it's so weird to watch this team from first half to second half. And, you know, I thought in the first half in this game against the Lakers in game two, it was really about, like, the Lakers defensively playing extremely well. And I thought in game one, too, you know, you're coming off of that comeback in the 3-1 series, right? And it's a really tough spot for you. You come out fired up in the first quarter. You lead 38-36. You fall off in the second quarter and ultimately just don't have the energy. But really, it's just a long way of saying, like, I really don't know what to do with this team. They seem more comfortable operating in deficits, right? Go back to game one where they're down 16. You mentioned the 10-point deficit, right, in game two. At the halftime, 16 points eventually at one point, but then coming back and, you know, making it a one-possession game and ultimately leading before the final shot. Like, I don't know what it is about this team, and I was kind of thought, like, is it Mike Malone who just sits back and lets the teams, his opponents, operate and then makes in-game adjustments, and that's what he's really good at? Is it just the team just doesn't come out fired up and ready to go? I have really no idea, but I will say we've seen enough in this postseason that I think we're going to see Denver operate in a deficit, and maybe betting against them in the first half is the way to go, or the first quarter.
Interesting. The Nuggets were down in game seven to the Clippers, too, and roared back, and yep. The Clippers are home. The Quitters are home now for the offseason. All right. Anthony Davis hits the game winner in game two, JVT. And that was actually a great play. The Lakers were fortunate to get an offensive rebound there. He said there was no doubt the ball was coming to him on that final play. And I thought it might be designed for LeBron. But AD said he wanted that ball in that situation. Let's hear from him post-game. The Lakers win at the buzzer in game two.
You know, people talking about never been in this moment. Pressure. Am I ready for it? I want to take those shots. You know, as part of the legacy, I want those shots. I want the big-time plays. You know, and we're going to live with me, die with me shooting the last, you know, game-winning shots, and I made it. You know, this is what they brought me here for, to make big-time plays. Obviously, we win the Mamba jerseys. Never want to lose in these jerseys, never want to lose at all, but that's a hell of a team. They're going to keep fighting. They fought all the way to the last shot. You know, we know that's what they're going to do. You know, they're a team that's proven it this entire playoff series. You know, their entire playoff run. So, you know, hats off to them, but, you know, we want to come here and do what we got to do. You know, people talking about.
AD hits the three at the buzzer to beat the Nuggets. JVT, did you watch that final play, and can you explain what Plumlee was doing defensively?
Dude, I have no idea what Mason Plumlee's doing. And by the way, keep in mind that seeding game that I mentioned. I don't know if you guys remember, but that seeding game that they played, it was a 124-121 final that ended at the buzzer. It was a tie game, 121-121, yep. When Kyle Kuzma hit the three, the game-winning three in that game. And guess who was on him defensively? Mason Plumlee. So I feel like Mike Malone has probably learned a lesson. If it's coming down to the final shot, don't put flat-footed, slow Mason Plumlee out there.
How about the total of 214 tonight? Did you consider playing that?
Yeah, you know, I considered playing it over, Matt, and you know, there's a couple of reasons. One, the series has kind of played over this season. You know, we've seen them play six games now. Four of them have gone over the total. And really, there's certain things that each team does well that the other, in terms of what they can't defend against or what they defend poorly against, works against each other in their favor. For example, you know, the Nuggets don't really defend the rim very well. They don't defend a transition entirely too well. The Lakers are great in those two areas of the floor. And it's really clear that two-man game between Jokic and Murray really bothers the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, they combined for 55 points in game two. That plus 16 in 44 minutes for Jamal Murray is nuts considering they lost the game. So you can just figure out what happened in the 4 minutes without him. But like, it just seems that both teams do something well that the other really has trouble with. And when I have six games, four of them have gone over the total because each team offensively has done what they wanted. I'd lean a little over here for this game tonight.
You can follow Jonathan Von Tobel on Twitter at @MeJVT. Hear him weekdays 1-3 on the edge. That's Eastern, 1-3 Eastern. You know, one thing that to me certainly is impressive about the Lakers, and maybe more so JVT about Anthony Davis. You know, a lot of people, the people who wanted to give LeBron the MVP looked at the plus minus when he was off the floor, right? And now that's kind of flipped. When the Lakers don't have Anthony Davis on the floor, it has changed. So is it just a matter of Anthony Davis kind of stepping up his game come the postseason, where he has truly become the go-to guy for the Lakers here in the playoffs?
You know, I think that's part of it, Tim, but I also think what's quietly happened here is, and humans will love this, playoff Rondo is like a real thing.
Yes.
And playoff Rondo, like operating with those bench units and operating when LeBron's off the floor, right? Like, they really missed like a guy who could just operate the offense and actually facilitate and have a smart mind and see the floor very well when Rondo wasn't playing. And LeBron obviously filled those minutes when he's on the floor. But when LeBron's off, I mean, Rondo has a great job in terms of running that offense. Look at the final play. Rondo was inbounding the ball when he found Anthony Davis, right? Like, it's just the little things that Rondo does. And I think that's been a big difference. Like, Anthony Davis has been great. Don't get me wrong. And he has definitely stepped his game up. But I think the addition of a healthy Rondo and postseason version of Rondo has definitely helped with the efficiency of the units without LeBron James on the floor, for sure.
All right. Great to see you're finally buying into playoff Rondo. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think playoff Rondo is a thing. Remember, I don't know if you remember 2 years ago, or was it 2 or 3 years ago, when he was on the Bulls, I had him 8-1 to win that series. They were playing the one-seeded Celtics with Isaiah Thomas. And then playoff Rondo broke his hand, and then they lost. They had won the first two games, and they lost the series. I love playoff Rondo. He was with Anthony Davis when they upset my Portland Trailblazers.
Sure,
remember, they swept them out.
I'm a big fan of playoff Rondo. DraftKings, Johnny Avello, you have up NBA Finals MVP odds. You could get a guy like Jamal Murray at 120-1. Or if you like the Celtics, you get Jaylen Brown at 50-1. You get any plays on the stuff at this point? You get much?
Most of the play's been on the two favorites, LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Davis was as high as 11-5. He's down to plus 170. Now he's back up to $2. LeBron was minus 120. He was as high as plus 120. Now he's even money. So that's where most of the money sit. Hey, the MVP is going to be the winner, aren't they?
Right.
So you can give it a good try, but you better win it all if you want to be the MVP.
Jimmy Butler is at 12-1. Let's talk about that game, JBT, coming up tomorrow. Is Eric Spoelstra going to go back to his zone, or is Gordon Hayward kind of the zone buster for the Celtics? They made some adjustments offensively. Celtics 3-point favorites in game four after they get the win on Saturday to close the gap to 2-1 in the series. Celtics minus three, total of 210.5.
Yeah, that was the disappointing part about game three was for some reason Spo decided to get out of the zone when it had been working so well for him, Newman. But like to the point about Hayward, you know, the thing that I don't think is a coincidence, when Hayward finally gets on the floor for the Celtics, they post their highest assists, you know, in the series against Miami. The ball just moves so much better with Gordon Hayward on the floor. You know, your producer Jacob is a big Celtics fan. He called him the hockey assister, and it's a good point. Like he gets the ball moving, and we know there's multiple ways to kill a zone, but one of them is ball movement and finding those open areas on the floor when you're getting them to swing from side to side, and he helped them out a little bit. But I also thought Spo went away from the zone like a lot quicker than he probably should have. So I would expect him to go back to it and basically tell Boston, look, until you figure out how to beat this, because we now have 8 games that you have not played well against this, and we are the team in the regular season that led the NBA in usage of zone defense. Until you beat us, when we're throwing this out there, we're going to keep throwing it at you. And they even cut into this. They even cut into their deficit in the second quarter in that game as well using the zone. So I was really surprised we didn't see a lot of it. So I would expect that we're going to see it. As far as the number goes, you know, I kind of figure this is going to be a Miami +3 play for me, and I'm going to wait, though. I want to see where the market goes, because you get a change, right? You get Hayward on the floor. The market already bet it to 3.5 in game two, and now let's see what they want to do with it now that Hayward's there and the Boston Celtics won a game. So I'm going to hold off, see if I can get a better number with Miami.
Yeah, I'm looking at the dog tonight and the dog tomorrow. Nuggets and the points, yep. Heat and the points, and that's the way I'm leaning on both NBA games. You know who's really fun to watch, JBT, if you love point guard play? Goran Dragic. Man, that guy, the more I watch him, the more impressed I am by that guy.
Oh, dude, he's great. And, like, it's funny because I don't want to say he came out of nowhere this season, but, you know, at the beginning of the year, he's mostly coming off the bench and he's helping out with the secondary unit. And all of a sudden in the postseason, in the bubble, he has just been explosive. And not even just from an offensive, like, facilitator standpoint. He's been scoring. Like, he has been a legitimate scoring threat for them in multiple games in this postseason. He's been great.
JVT, I'm looking at right now DraftKings series price, Celtics +120, Heat -150. With Hayward back, is there any intrigue in going with the Celtics, seeing what you saw from him in game three? Played 31 minutes. Now he gets 4 days off to kind of recuperate and continue to try to get back to a full bill of health. Is there any interest in the Celtics at +120 on the series line now?
Yeah, so I took a piece of the Celtics, mainly, though, because I have this future taken on Miami. And, I thought, Tim, that it was a bad matchup for Miami against Boston, but I kind of miscalculated, and I figured that was a bad matchup fully healthy. Well, now they're fully healthy, and we do have one game in the book fully healthy, and they did win. And I wouldn't say, you know, dominantly, but they did win relatively comfortably over the weekend against them. So I would say yes, like, because, again, there's that change that I'm always looking for. Like, is there a change that would make you think that this is going to go in a different direction? And Hayward's presence is that, because not even just the thing we were talking about with the zone, right? But it takes a Celtics team that was insanely thin in terms of their bench depth and gives them just another player. And now you get to get a little bit deeper. And now Brad Wanamaker and Semi Ojeleye don't have to play like 20 minutes, you know. And now it's Gordon Hayward who's actually taking some of those minutes. And I think that's a very big, massive positive for the Boston Celtics. So I think from that perspective, yes, I would look at Boston. And I have taken a little bit here to get off of this futures ticket for the Miami Heat.
All right, John, how about your immediate reaction to Billy Donovan hired as Chicago Bulls coach today?
Why would he take the job? That was my initial thought. Like, I feel like he did a great job at Oklahoma City, man. Like, I was surprised they decided to let him walk. And I feel like there's many better opportunities out there than coaching the Chicago Bulls. But maybe he sees something with the personnel that they have. But that whole place has been kind of a nightmare. But they revamped their front office, and, you know, it looks like they're taking it seriously with the addition of Donovan as well. So maybe he just buys into the new front office look for Chicago. But my initial thought was, why, when you could probably get some better jobs? I thought an intriguing job for him would be like a New Orleans or something like that. But, like, apparently he likes what's going on in Chicago.
All right, John Von Tobel on Twitter at MeJBT. Did you send your NFL picks in yet? You got one NFL play you like for this week?
Yes, I did send them to you. I actually sent them with the slug. Sorry, I thought today was Monday, so I did send those to you. But yes, actually, humans, I really like New England. You know, coming taking on Oakland, Las Vegas this weekend. Man, it's the number sitting like six right now in the majority of spots. But I think this offense for the Patriots has shown how diverse it can be through 2 weeks. And I still think there's some issues with the Raiders defensively. Even the Saints yesterday, with all the mistakes and how bad Drew Brees looked, still averaged 7.2 yards per play and dropped 400 yards on him. And against an offense that is actually sound, I think that's going to be part of a problem. And short week going to the East Coast, I think it's a pretty good spot for New England as well.
All right, I hope that's a good thing. That's unanimous. You, me, and Tim Murray, all on the Patriots. So hopefully we're on the right side there. John, thanks a lot. Appreciate the time, man.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Jonathan Von Tobel, host of The Edge. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on My Guys in the Desert. Matt Youmans, Tim Murray, and Johnny Avello. We come back. We have top plays for tonight, and we will continue the game show, Hope or Hopeless, as we look at the 11-0-2 teams in the NFL. By the way, New York's got two of those, the Giants and the Jets.
But they play in New Jersey.
Whatever. You know,
New York has Buffalo.
San Francisco 49ers have spent a lot of time in New Jersey right. in the past week, and they'll be there again this week. Quick break, back in a couple minutes. Here at the South Point Sportsbook, Matt Murray and John Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director. John, you had to take a college football game off the board today. Notre Dame at Wake Forest. So this has been like a weekly thing here with college football games getting postponed, but that's the first one off the board this week.
Yeah, you know, we're expecting things like this to happen throughout the season, and but we pick up a bunch of SEC games this week.
That's
so
right.
Not a bad trade-off.
Notre Dame was a 16.5-point favorite at Wake. Ian Book off to a little bit of a slow start. Notre Dame with a 2-touchdown win over Duke. And then a blowout of South Florida last week, which I was not surprised. South Florida's pretty bad.
They're awful.
What were you expecting to see here, Tim Murray, in Notre Dame, Wake? And we might see this game next week, right?
Yeah, they have common off days. So Notre Dame and Wake Forest could play next week. But Notre Dame is right now in that quarantine self-contact tracing situation right now. So they have 10 players in quarantine, 13 players in self-isolation. You know, Hartman for Wake Forest, Wake Forest had a good offense, and I thought they were really going to test Notre Dame's secondary, which is very, very young. Notre Dame's best cornerbacks, a grad transfer, Nick McLeod, came in from NC State. Kyle Hamilton, who's their All-American safety, a little bit nicked up. He didn't play against South Florida, probably was going to play this weekend against Wake Forest. I mean, I anticipated Notre Dame to win this game comfortably, but, you know, there was some steam on Wake Forest to cover the number at 17, and Notre Dame's wide receivers, you know, the tight ends have played well, Matt. Tommy Tremble and Michael Mayer, a true freshman. The running game with Kyron Williams and Chris Tyree has been solid to start for the Irish. But the wide receivers are a big question. Kevin Austin is still out with an injury. Ben Skoranek, who came in from Northwestern, they were expecting some big things from him. He's been hurt too. So I wasn't going to play this game. I would have leaned maybe Wake Forest grabbing the points at home. And hopefully we see this game next weekend.
Yeah, I was leaning Wake, too. I think the Notre Dame passing game right now misses Chase Claypool, and that was one concern I had coming into the season.
They don't have anyone who could stretch the field vertically. I think Tommy Rees, their new offensive coordinator, former Notre Dame quarterback, he's done a pretty good job of adapting as the game goes on and playing to their strengths. I think Notre Dame is going to be a more of a power team. We've seen it a couple times. They'll go three tight ends. They'll bring in Brock Wright, who's more of a blocking tight end. They'll go three tight ends and trust in that offensive line as every starter back and trust in their running backs and Kyron Williams and Chris Tyree and Sebo Flemister. So they believe in their running backs, but the passing game is not there.
Are you trying to audition for a spot in the NBC booth on Saturday mornings? This guy knows Notre Dame football.
Doesn't mean I can bet them properly.
All right, let's get to top plays. Tim Murray, start with you.
All right.
What'd you do last night?
We went 2-1 last night. We had the Raiders plus 3 in the first half. That was fortunate. Drew Brees gave us, if you followed this play, give us a little gift wrap package there. And we got the field goal right at the gun to make it 17 all at halftime. Alvin Kamara over receiving yards. That was a breeze. But Latavius Murray rushing yards. I was anticipating the Saints to have the lead in the second half, milk the clock, give the ball to Latavius Murray. Didn't happen. They were obviously playing from behind.
How many yards receiving did Kamara have last night?
I want to say in the 60s. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was targeted quite a bit. But a couple plays tonight. I just talked myself into Lakers laying 3.5 in the first half. If you look at this series, Matt, so far, the Lakers have outscored Denver plus 11 in the first half, plus 10 in the second half. And then if you go back to the Houston series, games 2, 3, 4, and 5, the Lakers led 3 of those 4 games by double digits at the half. And I mentioned the Jamal Murray stat. He'll be out in the first half. He'll probably play every minute in the second half. He was plus 16 in game 2 in 44 minutes of action, meaning when he was off, minus 18. Real quickly, a baseball play following my partner here. He got me back into baseball. I'm going to go Rays. One win away from a division title, Matt. Blake Snell is on the hill. He's been pitching well so far this year. Last 2 starts, he's pitched well. Seth Lugo on the hill to start. Good out of the pen, but Matty struggled in starts. 5.30 ERA and 5 starts. So give me the Rays minus 128 tonight.
All right. I had the Giants last night. I did not use that in top plays. Apologies to anybody, Tim, who followed that Giants play last night. They lost 7-2. I like the Giants again tonight. I'm not going to use it in top plays tonight either because it's been steamed up. Johnny, I don't know if you've seen the DraftKings where you open this Rockies-Giants game tonight. Nolan Arenado obviously out for the Rockies. Westgate Superbook open. San Francisco minus 120. It's now up to minus 160.
40-cent move. Yes, yeah. What it is. Yeah.
Biggest move on the baseball board today.
Yes, it is.
I am going to play Nuggets plus 6.5 over the Lakers tonight. Last night, Raiders plus 6. Winner gets me to 20-12.
Ooh.
Plus 8 units. Quick break here. We come back with the game show Hope or Hopeless. You don't want to miss it.
Your football betting go this weekend. As you know, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this season. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts. 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all our show's hosts and guests, plus you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Matt, let's talk about the Eagles.
Let's get back to it. The game show Hope or Hopeless. We look at the 11-0-2 teams in the NFL. That ties a record high. Obviously, after 2 weeks to have 11 teams winless. We've talked about the Bengals, the Broncos, and the Dolphins. Now we get to the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz has thrown 4 interceptions. The Eagles have been outscored 64-36. They're 6-point home favorites over the Bengals this week. Johnny Avello, hope or hopeless for the Eagles?
Well, anything but winning the division, conference, or Super Bowl is disappointing for this team. And, you know, Carson Wentz, for some reason, just can't get out of the shadow of the quarterbacks that take this team to the Super Bowl and win, or at least get close to winning. So I'm going with hopeless because the schedule is way tough. I mean, it's one of the toughest schedules in the NFL.
It's like a bad habit. I can't kick the Eagles. I'm going to say hope. That division is, as we've seen, you should have 3 winless teams, and Washington would have the only win there. So, got Cincinnati laying 6.5 this week.
6.
Give me some hope there for the Philadelphia Eagles.
5.5 at the Westgate right now.
No one believes in them.
You do have hope. You took the Bengals, remember?
We talked about the Bengals. We talked about the Bengals having hope.
I gave hope with the Bengals. Yeah.
As live dogs, and there's been some play on the Bengals this week. I wonder if Randy McKay, professional sports bettor, has dropped his rating on Doug Peterson yet. He had him as one of the top three coaches in the NFL. Talked about it over the summer. I'm going to go with hope here only because the NFC East is so bad. Dallas is going to leave the door cracked open for the Eagles. And that's why I'll go with hope. But I don't see I'll be backing the Eagles anytime soon. Again, I was on them last week, and that was a wrong move. All right, the Falcons, 0-2. But this team's got a high-scoring offense, Johnny. They've also got a defense that, as Chris Andrews, the sportsbook director at South Point, said, can't stop a nosebleed. The Falcons' schedule does soften up. So they are 0-2 and favored by 3.5 over the 2-0 Bears this week, John.
So people will say after that loss last week, they'll disintegrate. These guys are pros. I mean, this is their job. This is what they get paid to do. So I'm going with hope here. I think the Falcons, they always rally at the end of the year. You notice that? Just come up a little short. So I'm going with hope. I can still see 8 wins on the schedule.
I'm going with hope this weekend. I love them against the Bears in this spot. Laying the 3.5. You got an undefeated Bears team who is, let's be honest, a bit fraudulent with Mitch Trubisky.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be real here. Yeah. But they're hopeless. The Falcons are hopeless because Dan Quinn is their head coach. Ooh. So I will say hopeless for the Falcons this year.
Yeah, I have to go with hope here because of the offense and the fact they started last season 1-7 and rallied to go 7-9. And there's also hope that if they don't beat the Bears this week, Dan Quinn's going to be fired. Somebody else will take over.
That's true.
But yeah, that defense does look hopeless. But the offense is a different story. They were up 15 on the Cowboys with 5 minutes to go. No way you should lose that game.
Johnny, fall on the football. Doesn't have to go 10 yards if you're the return team.
Oh,
fall
it doesn't?
On the football.
Oh, they got somebody didn't tell them that's the way the game works.
Incredible. I still have to go with hope for the Falcons. New York Giants, no Saquon Barkley. Johnny, what do you think? Hope or hopeless? They hung in the first two games against the Steelers and the Bears.
Hopeless. I mean, I'm a Giant fan, so what can I tell you? I don't see any real positives that are going to come out of this season. Maybe we just get the quarterback another year of work. But we got without Barkley, he's one of my favorite players in the league. It's dismal looking to me.
Yeah, that was, I mean, there were so many injuries on Sunday, and that was one of the most disheartening ones, to see Saquon Barkley. He and Christian McCaffrey hopefully back sooner rather than later with the high ankle sprain, but hopeless for the Giants. No Saquon Barkley. Yeah, not much hope there for the G-men.
Yeah, I don't think the defense looks very good, and without Barkley, I'm
rookie
really
head coach.
Joe Judge will probably keep these guys playing hard, but the Giants, I was lucky to get a cover with them here last week against the Bears. I'll probably back off the Giants for a while. I'm going to go hopeless. Okay, throw the next team up on the board. Love the game show theme music we have, by the way. Just throw it up. The Jets. It's the New York Jets.
I think we'll be consensus here.
Hope or hopeless. Sam Darnold, Adam Gase, Greg Williams. Let's call them the big three. Le'Veon Bell's out. Jets are all beat up with injuries. Can we just make this unanimous and call them hopeless, Johnny?
Yes, check.
Final answer. Hopeless.
Chris Andrews, again, I talked to him this week. He said the Jets are now his lowest rated team in the NFL. Do you agree with that, John?
I would say they're right there. Yeah, Jacksonville and Redskins were my two to start the season, but yeah, the Jets are there now. They probably won't be at the end of the year, but yes, I guess that's a good call.
You gonna grab the 10.5 this weekend, Matt, with the Jets at Indianapolis?
I am not. I'm not playing the Jets this week, no. I thought the Colts looked more like we expect the Colts to look last week in that 28-11 victory over the Vikings.
Gave the ball to Jonathan Taylor, finally.
I don't want to lay those points with Phillip Rivers, but I'm not going to take him with Sam Darnold this week. I expected that number to open 9.5. I thought it would get over 10. Right now we're seeing 10.5. All right, the next team, hope or hopeless, Detroit Lions. They led the Bears by 17 points in the fourth quarter, lost. They led the Packers 14-3 after one quarter, outscored 39-7 the rest of the way. Matthew Stafford, Matt Patricia, Hope or hopeless, John?
I'm going with hope because I think the reasons you just said, those two reasons, both of those games they were in and could have won them both. But I feel they're going to have a good showing this week against the Cardinals.
I kind of like them this week. In the big picture, I think they're hopeless, but I kind of think I think they have some hope this week. Tim?
The reason they're hopeless to me is Matt Patricia. Look at the sidelines. Right. 9-25 as a head coach with Detroit, and they've lost, I forget how many now, 11 straight, something insane like that. So the reason I say hopeless is this was a team that many people believed could win this division, and now they're 0-2. So I say hopeless because they're not going to win that division.
All right, we're out of time. We're going to continue this in the next segment. We still have the Panthers, Texans, and Vikings to take a look at on the game show Hope or Hopeless. We want to bring it back just so we can hear the theme music.
The matchup of all the different ones.
And we also have to take a last look at baseball and everything on tonight's rotation. Back here in a couple minutes on My Guys in the Desert.
The DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a no-brainer odds boost of 100-1 on any pro football team to win in week 3. It's easy. Just sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code VSIN, bet $1 on any team to win in week 3, and if they do, you walk away with $100. Don't forget to use code VSIN when you sign up. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app for offer details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. Matt.
All right, Johnny Avello, that's Danielle. Do you like her voice?
Love her voice.
All right, let's get back to the game show Hope or Hopeless and continue with the Carolina Panthers. And Ian McDonald wrote a good column in Point Spread Weekly over the summer, making a case for the Panthers over their win total of 5 or 5.5. I think it was 5.5 at the time. And Matt Rhule is not going to win Coach of the Year. I think we can check that box. It's not going to happen. But Christian McCaffrey being out, John, multiple weeks with a high ankle sprain, how does that hurt the Panthers? And you think this team, is Matt Rhule going to get this team to continue to play hard? Do they have hope?
No, hopeless. But I love McCaffrey as a player. He does it all. I just really enjoyed it, watching that type of player. Hard-nosed guy. Never. We knew in college he's a great player, but would he be this good in the pros? I didn't think so. I think he's amazing. But Teddy Bridgewater, first game against the Raiders, okay. This last game he threw, his numbers were good, but he didn't have a touchdown pass. He threw two picks. No, hopeless.
You know, the way you classified it, it was... Will they be live dogs at the end of the year? And I think they will. You know, you got a rookie coach, you got a young, energetic offense coordinator in Joe Brady. Christian McCaffrey will be back in 4 to 6 weeks. So I think if you're looking at it, will they be a live dog at some of these end of the year games against the Packers, against the Saints, against the Broncos? Yeah, I think they'll be a live dog. So I'll say there's some hope there.
Yeah, that's a tough call on this one because I think Rhule's going to get these guys to play hard, and Panthers. We'll fight. They'll be a live dog in some games. But in the big picture, I think without McCaffrey, they're hopeless.
Yeah, they just don't have enough talent right now, too.
It's all about next year for the Panthers. And NFL teams don't do this necessarily. But you know what? The best thing that could happen to the Panthers would be to go 1-15 and get the number one pick in Trevor Lawrence.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, looking at what is likely to come out, Trevor Lawrence – and Justin Fields, either one of those guys, with Joe Brady. I mean, look at what Joe Brady was able to do with Joe Burrow. So you think you get a guy in there like a Trevor Lawrence. I agree. If they go 1-15, I think Panther fans would quietly say, that's a good year.
All right. Nobody's had a tougher schedule than the Texans to open the season. At Kansas City, home against Baltimore, at Pittsburgh. Johnny, are the Texans at 0-2 still have hope, or are they hopeless?
Yeah. The Texans, to me, are a quality football team. I just don't know. I just can't put my finger on the problem. So I have to go with hope. I mean, I like the chemistry of the team. It's just just tough getting those W's.
Well, I could put my finger on it. It's the guy on the sideline.
Bill O'Brien.
B.O.B. That's the issue there. He's the general manager. He's trading away quality pieces for no reason. DeAndre Hopkins, he's getting back David Johnson. I think, once again, if this is just strictly looking at them as a live dog, I think there's some hope there. But realistically, the Houston Texans, Matt, were a 10-win football team last year, mm-hmm. and they're going to be an under 500 football team this year. So it's hopeless in that sense, but they're going to win some games because they have Deshaun Watson, and he can do remarkable things from time to time.
Yeah, I think they'll be 6-10 or 7-9, something like that. But, you know, you play the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Steelers to open with two of those games on the road. The schedule's going to get a lot easier. So there's some hope there, but I'm not a big Texans guy, so I'm going to say they stay under that win total of 7.5, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Last one, the Minnesota Vikings. We talked about this a little early in the show, the 11th 0-2 team to get to here. The Vikings allowed 43 points to the Packers in week one. Kirk Cousins threw three interceptions in a 17-point loss at Indianapolis in week two. Mike Zimmer, very good defensive coach, but his defense is a disaster right now. Does Kirk Cousins bounce back, Johnny? Is hope or hopeless with the Minnesota Vikings?
I'm going to go with hope on this one too, Matt. And the reason I'm going with hope is because I don't think the Packers are as good as they showed the first two games. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Bears are as good as they showed the first two games. So I look for this team to get in the hunt at some point, you know, three quarters of the way through the season.
I'll say hopeless because, once again, this was a team, Matt, that was supposed to – they were the favorite, right, Johnny? They were the favorite to win the NFC North preseason, and now they've looked ugly the first 2 weeks. I am a Kirk Cousins fan. I think he gets a lot of heat for no reason, but he has not played well. Last week was awful. He has no Stephon Diggs anymore, which I thought maybe Justin Jefferson coming in could be an upgrade – not an upgrade, but just – maybe a wash. He needs to do a little bit more. But the bigger questions, guys, are the defense. They have so many young pieces there. They're starting a third-round pick at corner, a rookie third-round pick. Mentioned Michael Pierce being opting out. Mm-hmm. They also lost Anthony Barr for the season with a pec injury. So I'll say hopeless because this team was supposed to be a playoff team this year, and they're going to go under their win total.
All right, I'm going to say hope for now, but this team is on the brink of hopelessness because if you can't beat the Titans at home this week, you're going in the hopeless category. All right, that wraps it up. Let's move on to tonight's baseball rotation. We actually have a game in progress right now. The Yankees are going to stay under their win total, Tim. They've lost the past two.
Congratulations, Matt. You were getting...
I was starting to sweat that a little bit.
Johnny, did you hear? Did we talk about this last week?
No.
So, Johnny, Matt had under for the Yankees, 38.5 and 37.5.
37.5 and 38.
38, okay. And they were 21-21. So mathematically, they just needed one more loss and they would be done. He would get his best, or two more losses. And then they rattled off 10 straight wins. And he started to sweat a little bit. Look at all those W's, Johnny, on the screen there.
Yeah, I know, but they still had to put all those W's in the far end, too.
He started to question himself, like,
What, they have to win, like, 17 straight to beat you?
I think so.
They could have finished the season on an 18-game win streak, and I would have lost. That would have been one of the worst beats in sports betting history.
It would have been
an all-timer. But the Yankees dropped two in a row, so I can rest easy now. Aaron Hicks with a RBI triple right now, and Hicks scored on a wild pitch. The Yankees on top of the Blue Jays 2-0. Phillies lead the Nationals 2-0. Indians 1-0 over the White Sox in the third. Brewers and Reds underway. And also tonight, take a quick look at the Cubs and Pirates. And Cubs minus 155. Looks like Jose Quintana is going to get to start for the Cubs. Is that right?
Yep, Jose Quintana, yeah.
So Cubs minus 155 or so, 8.5 the total at Pittsburgh.
Does everyone we had Vinny in here yesterday, yeah. Johnny, and he said anytime the Pirates are on the board, we need the Pirates. Same thing go for DraftKings?
Yeah, pretty much. Just, you know,
that's not a good thing.
Baseball has always been, you know, a streaky betting game. I mean, guys like to follow streaks, whether it's the W or the loss streak. Right. So it's always been bet that way. And it's cost us a lot of money through the years at times.
Johnny, you were saying yesterday the Mets were a good bet against spot with Jacob DeGrom going at a nice plus price yesterday, right?
Good team getting plus $1.80. That's, you know, anytime you can get, I don't care who's pitching. That team is such a quality team. You're getting plus $1.80. That's worth the shot. If you bet that twice, you're probably going to win one out of two. You're going to make money.
But he had 8 strikeouts through 3 innings last night, total 14 strikeouts, and the Mets lost.
Yeah. How about tonight, Tim? You like the Rays. This price has steadily gone up today. I think minus 135 looks like the number right now. It's Blake Snell.
Yeah, I got it at minus 128. Blake Snell's pitched well the past couple times out. And then, you know, when you look at Seth Lugo, Matt, he has been very solid out of the pen, 2.61 ERA out of the pen, but he's starting tonight, and he's got a 5.30 ERA in his 5 starts this year. The Mets' offense has been, we mentioned it last night, 1 run last night in the loss to the Rays, 3 or fewer runs in 6 of their last 9 games.
Yep.
And for the Rays, a win tonight, they clinched the NL East, so that's why I was on the Rays tonight. They're at Citi Field, so I got it at minus 128, and looks like it's minus 135.
Johnny, what do you have on a World Series price for the Tampa Bay Rays at DraftKings? That's like Tim just said, they're going to win the American League East. And the Rays are a team before the season a lot of people thought were kind of a sleeper to win that division and to maybe win the American League. While you're looking that up, I'm going to go to Angels Padres. I'll be watching this game tonight. Griffin Canning and Zach Davies and Tim for the Padres. Davies a 150 favorite, total of 9. Do you like the Padres to win tonight?
I do. I'm partial, though, because I got to broadcast Zach Davies when he was in minor league baseball, so that's why he's but, no, he's been great. He's a great pickup for the Padres this offseason.
I thought so, too.
And,
yeah.
You know, they get him for, you know, not, you know, it's just a couple small pieces in the trade with Milwaukee. He's pitched really well this year for the Padres.
Kind of like the Padres in that spot. I'm not crazy about the price. Minus 152 looks like the best you could get. And Griffin Canning's got only 1 win for the Angels. This season. John, what do you have on that Rays price?
6.5 to win the World Series, 3 to win the pennant.
How do you do if they win the World Series? Is that a good result for you guys?
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, we're loaded up on Yankees money, which we have been all year long.
A's and Dodgers, Frankie Montas against Dustin May. Dodgers minus 175, total of 9. That's a good matchup tonight. And Rockies and Giants, biggest mover on the board. Kyle Freeland against Drew Smyly. I like the Giants again tonight, but at this price, John, has this moved 40 cents at DraftKings, too, from minus 120 to 160?
44 cents, 21 to 65.
Yeah.
Total drop, too, 8 over to 7.5 over 3 nickels. So, drops all over that game.
You have any moves on tonight's NBA game, Nuggets and the Lakers? That tips off at 6 p.m. Pacific.
No, that's holding pretty steady.
At 6.5, 214?
Yep, 6.5, 213.5.
Okay. And I also have to congratulate you on the way out of the show today because last week you were in with us and you said Bryson DeChambeau was one of your picks to win the U.S. Open. How'd that result? Looks like you have a new golf shirt on today, so you took some of your winnings out and bought a shirt. And how was that result for you and DraftKings?
Good result for me. Good result for the store. You know, we were loaded up on film money. It just looked like the film money was pouring in all week long. I don't know. And Tiger, too. They take these guys at some big prices and, you know, hope. Hope or hopeless.
They were hopeless very early on.
Both those guys were hopeless. Tiger and Phil.
But Phil birdie to start and then was, what, 9
all
over
downhill
on the first day?
Yeah, all downhill.
It was a celebration for Johnny by Friday afternoon.
How was
Friday
golf
afternoon
wagering handle last week?
Oh, amazing.
Was it?
Oh, every week seems to be over the you know, more than what we did the previous week. And when it was isolated by itself, certainly that's when we saw its best days.
All right, John Murray and Brent Musburger on tomorrow's show.